Blog Talk Radio.
June 7th, and what a perfect day it is to minister the premiere of June's offering in celebration of Abba, our Father. And I tell you, I am honored and excited to be here with you once again here on the Stars of Heaven Network. And I tell you, my coming to you on the Stars of Heaven Network 22. It's really far and in between, but when I do come, I'm honored, I'm excited, as well as full, just extremely full to share everything the Lord has opened up to me for you. So thank you for being here, and I bless you for receiving June's offering, and I hope that your June is off to a swelling start, and that you are producing the fruit of the Father's essence, his personality, and all that he has purpose and plan for you in this season. I hope you are receiving it and it's all coming to pass, as well as your joy being full. And I'm excited about this month's offering because it's a 2020 offering where I'm going to be ministering not just celebrating all fathers, true fathers, but I also will be celebrating the month of marriage. June represents celebration of marriages and weddings. So I will be posting and ministering some things about this glorious time and this prophetic time and this divine time, because it celebrates the 22. And it's something that the Lord has declared in this year of union and coming together to two becoming one. So thank you again for being here with your hostess and foundress of Brides of Christ Women's Ministries, as well as the Knights of Christ men's ministry, Paternal Orders. And I'm excited to just share what the Lord has opened up to me for this offering. And I'm excited to minister Ababa and him giving me this in honor of the Knights of Christ Men's Ministries. And I tell you, before I came on air, I was just really listening to what the Holy Spirit wanted to say and had to say. And in this premiere, which is usually the foundational word of the Lord that he will have me expound upon, and different impartations and utterances open up to me to share with you. So I'm excited to start here in honoring true fathers in honor of our Heavenly Father, as well as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who had adoption by sonship. God came down in the form of sonship to redeem us and reconcile us unto himself. And so I'm really excited to celebrate the adoption that we have. And before I get into the exhortation, I wanted to just share a definition. True fathers means to me, and true fathers are men, which means mature. They're disciplined, obedient, humble. Those are some of the things that I look for, I glean from, and I respect and I admire, and not just fathers, but men. Just when you declare a man, you declare him as men, not just singular, but plural, meaning responsibility. And men who are mature, responsible, meaning plural, taking responsibility for what they've been giving. And these men are those who live in obedience to God by adoption. Because when I speak of men, I speak of men now in the new nature, in the new Adam, according to Christ, according to the resurrection of the Holy Spirit. And this is adoption is by the shed blood of their Redeemer Kinsman. And I was really excited about that. Their Redeemer Kinsman, who is their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So I'm excited about that, to honor all fathers, and I'm wishing all fathers a happy Father's, not just day, but a whole month. And just as we celebrate mothers, fathers should be celebrated as well, each and every day, because they were who God created in the Genesis. And when I created and birthed Knights of Christ Paternal Order, his birthing was birthed years after the birthing of Brides of Christ Women's Ministries. And I often say that I maybe should have birthed Knights of Christ first, because when the Lord anointed me and mounted me and sent me out, he sent men to me. He had me minister to men. So men carry a very dear place in my heart. And that's because they're in Father God's image. But all of God's creation as men are unique and different. And that's the beauty about men. They're all different. And when you understand their essence and all their forms and who they are, they're all the same from the core of their being. And that's in Father God's image. So to understand, man, you really have to have understanding of who God is and know who God is in Christ, in the new nature. And just if you're blessed to be able to know who they are from the core by way of the Holy Spirit, you'll find them being very delightful, and And I tell you, God knew what he was doing when he made man. I tell you, what a beautiful creature. Okay. So, yeah. I love that in birthing Knights of Christ, it speaks again to the paternal orders. And those paternal orders are just simply obeying, fulfilling what God has commissioned each and every man to do. Each and every man has an assignment. Each and every man has a gift, a talent. And again, it goes back to Adam in the garden and so forth. And so I could not do this offering without also honoring my father, who's now in heaven, and also acknowledging the prophets and the apostles whom the foundation of our faith was laid by way of the hope, by way of their faith, their fearless faith, shall I say, and by their fearless commitment in fulfilling God's will according to what God has tasked them to do, and that is always by God's word. So when I was in the Word of God today and I opened the Word of God, I landed upon Psalm 61. And speaking of the prophets, King David was one who really, before Christ, reflected the heart of God. And David was a fine example of a man who in his reign, in his tenure, had the heart of God, a heart for God, although in times it did not line up with his actions. And that's the thing that I so love about God. He says that man is on the outer appearance, but God sees on the heart. And so it was heart and his desire to please God that many of his psalms reflect his humility. And so I'm going to start with the first verse, because although this psalm is so short, it's still poignant, and it really was one that I thought would really be a blessing to you in the premiere of this broadcast, in the premiere of Truth Offering. Now he says, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Hallelujah. Hear my cry, O God. And that's one thing that I love about a real man, a true man, is that they're not afraid to cry, and not just cry, but cry out to their Creator, the God of their salvation. And David's prayer was to God, and his declaration was that his prayer would go from the end of the earth, to the earth. Will I cry unto thee? That means seek him for answers. And to do that, he had to be humble. He said, "With my heart," again, it starts with the heart, "is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings." And that's a pause. So he knows where to go. He knows where his strength is, his safety is, from the enemy. And in verse 5 he says, "For thou, God, has heard my vow." So he's confident and has got confirmation that God heard his vow, heard his plea, heard his cry. And that takes confidence. And not only confidence, but covenant. Because when you are in covenant with God and you have adoption, you have been reconciled with Father God. As Jesus said, and then you ask my name, that what I do. And you know that I heard you and answered you. So that's what I have. I have confidence in my God that he hears my prayers, and not just hears, but answers quickly. Hallelujah, because he said, before you call, I will answer. And that was another prophet who said that. But in verse 4, he says, I will abide in that tabernacle forever. I will trust in the comforts of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows, that has given me the inheritance of those that fear thy name. And I tell you, I really was just concentrating on this passage of scripture in David's prayer. And I repeated it like 4 or 5 times until it really soaked into my spirit. He says, for thou, O God, this is the reward. This is the utterance. This is the impartation, the blessing. For thou hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the inheritance, give me the heritage of those that fear thee, fear thy name. And he said, that's the reward. That's what I will give you. Not something you have to conjure up, not something you have to manufacture. I will give you. Thou hast given me the inheritance of those that fear thy name. And that's what we want, our heritage to declare itself. And Isaiah says and declared that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against me in judgment, I condemn, for my righteousness is of him. But this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. So that's the blessing for today in this premiere, is knowing the heritage that God has given us of those that fear thy name. And those that fear thy name are those who've already gone before us, which is of the saints and the prophets. So those mantles are there, and they're being released. And I feel released when I got the revelation of this particular scripture. Now he goes on in verse 6 and says, that will prolong the king's life. Thou will prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. And that's exactly what Father God said. He said also in Psalms 91, with long life would I satisfy thee and show you my salvation. This is the promise of not only adoption, but covenant. And that's what David had. That's what we have, according to our new covenant in Christ Jesus, and by the way of the New Testament. Now, in verse 7, the final scripture, he says, he shall abide before me forever. He shall abide before God forever, speaking of the king, or prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever. And that's one thing David always said. He always spoke of forever. Not just now, but forever. Because David's reign is forever. My reign will be forever. Even after I go to heaven, I will still be alive in spirit. I will live forever. That's the gift of salvation. And in the last verse, he says, I will sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vow. Wow, how beautiful is that? Daily will I perform my vows. And that's what a real man does. He meets his responsibilities. He keeps his commitment. Hallelujah. And I love that about God, that even when we fall short, he's a restorer. He said he'll revive us again. Hallelujah. Now, on the Knights of Christ Paternal Order's webpage, the foundation scripture that I put on the website came from 1 John, St. John, again, who is a prophet, apostle, and a father of the gospel. Who wrote not just by revelation in the book of Revelation, but prior to that, in his growth and going from faith to faith to glory to glory, he wrote unto the fathers. One of the reasons why John was able to write to the fathers at this time and is now in the scriptures is because the fathers were those who had the knowledge and the understanding, as he says, because you have known him that is from the beginning. That means you've known him from the genesis of creation. You've known him from the genesis of your faith and confessing your faith. And not only does he write to the fathers, he said, I write unto you, you young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. And also he declares that God called the young because they're strong. He goes on to say, I write unto you little children because you have known the Father. So in this passage of scripture, we see him speaking to three generations. Fathers, young men, and little children. He said, I have written unto you fathers because you have known him that was from the beginning. I have written unto you young men because you are strong and the word of God abides in you. And so in him restating what he said initially, he's clarifying again why he's writing to the church. And again, that was to encourage them, admonish them to stay strong. He says, I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abided in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So everything that John wrote, everything that the apostles wrote, the prophets wrote, it always went back to what? Love. And he says, love not the world, because he understood that the God of this world, which is Satan, Lucifer, who is a fallen angel, and his imps, the children of disobedience, having love in the world would corrupt them. Not just the world, but the things that's in the world. He said, for he that loved the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And John was writing to them to let them know that this is the core of not only all temptation, but what will corrupt the hearts of those that he has called to minister his word. Now, the establishment of the paternal order, holy orders of Yah, because it's Yahweh, Yeshua, in me creating the Knights of Christ Ministries paternal order, was meant to be a divine holy alignment to help you come into alignment with Father God's word, to be reconciled with him by way of the word of God through Jesus Christ, so that you can be prepared for the coming and the return of the Lord, which is spoken in scriptures. Now, not only does the Knights of Christ paternal order declare the paternal orders, it declares what the Lord says in what he says to his sons. And as the word of God says, he that addeth ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And that is according to his directives, his instructions, that he speaks by way of the Holy Spirit. Whatever he says, do it. He says, as many as that are led of the spirits are the sons and daughters of God. So in this new time that we're in, the word of God changes not. We are to be led of the Spirit. And as many as, again, are led of the Spirit are the sons and daughters of God. So we have to be led on what he's saying. We have to have the unction from the Holy One and the anointing to know what it is he's saying by way of what's in the mind of the Spirit. What's in the mind of the Spirit. And you cannot know what's in the mind of the Spirit unless you have the mind of Christ. And you're putting on the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shown with the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, having your loins girded with truth, taking above all the shield of faith, that we may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. So you have to be equipped. And that's why I love the prophetic imagery of the Knights of Christ, is how they are armored. Hallelujah. And not just armored and victorious, but being able to get the spoil. The spoils. I want the spoils. What's good is the warfare if you don't get the spoils, right? Our faith comes to reward us. Amen. The faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So having it manifest and it being tangible, being able to put it in my hands, me being able to feel it, touch it, is the manifestation, it's the goal of anything. Hallelujah. So the thing that I'm excited to minister in the coming weeks is just declaring how that adoption, it will manifest in your life, and how important it is to have the inner voice. To know the voice of Abba. Because Jesus said, "All my sheep hear my voice, and the church they will not follow." And that Abba comes by way of utterance. And Romans, the 8th chapter, the 13th to the 15th verse, is exactly what Apostle Paul was saying when he says, "For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as led of the Spirit of God, they are the sons and daughters of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." So what God has given us is love. And so when you feel the spirit of fear brings bondage. Sin brings bondage. Disobedience brings bondage. And so everything about the enemy and his tactics is to try to sell the illusion. Sell fear, false evidence appearing real, to get you to paralyze you from walking in faith. So we have to be able to discern why fear is there, where it's coming from. Is it within, or is it being thrust upon you, or put upon you, or evoked upon you by the enemy? Excuse me. So the thing is just to recognize it. And so God has said, again, "I have not given you the spirit of fear, but love, power, and of a sound mind." And we have the adoption of God, our Father. Now, 1 Timothy says in his exhortation and in closing of the premiere of June's offering, says, "I exhort you, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And so when we pray, our prayers for all men. And that's why Jesus, hallelujah, taught us to love our enemies. By the word of God declares not to render evil for evil, but render good for evil. And not to be overtaken by evil, but to overcome evil by what? Good. And it's good to pray all the time. It's good to cry out all the time. We need to pray all the time, everywhere, without ruffle down and lift up holy hands, everywhere, in intercession as well, not just for ourselves, but for others. And God knows we need it now. Your intercession is needed now. And your prayer does not to be 5 or 6 hours long. God hears your cry and your intercession from your heart. That's one thing I want you to know before I release this premiere, is know that your prayers are needed for everyone, for yourself. And that comes by the power of God, praying in the Holy Ghost. And that's why it's important to be filled with the Holy Spirit so you can have that indwelling, and not only have the indwelling, but be filled again. strengthened by the Holy Spirit. Be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. And that's what I want. I want to be well-pleasing to him. Well-pleasing. He says, godliness with great contentment is much gain. Having God and much contentment is great gain. He says, what if a profit a man loses the grain of the whole world and lose his soul? And what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Nothing. So I'm really excited to fire it up to really minister this in the coming months. I'm going to really be going deep and sharing some scriptures and truth and speaking the truth in love and edifying you, my brothers and my kings and all those who love the Lord and those who've lost their way, those who are backslidden. He's really ministered to me a lot about the state of his leaders. And one of the scriptures that came to me was, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And I know that time will always come for all of us, but it should not be premature. So I really do pray for kings and those who are in authority. Whatever your position is, know that you're valuable. God needs you. Whatever it is he's tasked you to do, whatever your hands is called to do, I pray you're doing it in the fear and the reverence of the Lord. I pray you're doing it wholeheartedly unto God, giving glory, honor, and praise to him in the name of Jesus. I pray Holy Spirit will continue to lead and guide you. I pray that God will heal your heart from any wounds, any hurt. I pray that your elevation, your sanctification, your consecration, and that most importantly, it would yield the fruit of righteousness and be well-pleasing in the sight of the Lord. With that, I bid you peace by sending much love, and I will be back soon. I will post my next message or exhortation when I am led. With that, peace by sending much love, and I'll speak with you soon. Love ya, and take care.